Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. 9:04 on the clock. Got Katrina and James here with you. We hope you're having a great day. Good morning, Katrina.
Good morning.
Plenty of fun lined up for you this hour. We got That Ain't Right story, got some good stories of the day. We're going to get to all of that. We're going to also dive into some stuff going on with our friends at Family Natural Foods before we wrap up. Want to do that?
Yeah.
To start off the hour, want to let you know about our schedule coming up here. We do have some great things coming up in the next hour and a half or so. We'll kick off Morning Magazine. We'll welcome in Lance Plimmel in part one. Lance, Wood County Board member. Lance will be joined, of course, by our friends from Wisconsin Rabbits Community Media. We'll have Taylor and the gang in.
Nice.
Looking forward to that. That's always fun. And then in part two, we are going to be joined by our friends from the ODC. It's going to be good.
Yeah.
We'll have Ann and David in. We're going to talk a little with them. Brian might be joining us as well. Plenty to talk about. Always love catching up with our friends from the ODC. And our sports schedule, of course. Looking at that for you today, it is a hockey night. We got Wisconsin men's hockey taking on Lake Superior, the Quick Trip Holiday Face-Off.
Nice.
That's a good one. Puck drops at 7 for that. It's a puck night, everybody. And keep in mind, tomorrow that series will wrap up. Wisconsin will... Oh, actually, I'm not sure who they're going to face yet, if they will have a game tomorrow, but we'll find out tonight. And we'll let you know if we'll have that on the air tomorrow or not. But if they do win, we will be having that game on the airwaves. Do want to let everybody know, as far as tomorrow goes, that's kind of our Friday, because we won't be here Friday. We're gonna be wrapping things up on Thursday this week. So that means that, like, things like your birthdays and anniversaries that you wanted to get us this weekend, get them to us now. And that also means that Culver's Star of the Day will be tomorrow instead of Friday.
You're going to have to remind yourself when it's Friday or Saturday which day it is, because you'll be off probably by one day.
Vegas has the odds at 100-1 that I'm going to definitely come in tomorrow. On Friday, I mean.
Yeah.
I'm definitely coming in tomorrow and Friday. I'll probably be here Friday morning doing a show that nobody's listening to. That isn't even on the air, probably.
Guys, why aren't you listening to me? I'm just here by myself. Nobody showed up. I'm no co-host.
It will happen. One of the things that I wanted to touch on was some fun stuff about New Year's. Of course, right around the corner. And we love to do our random, wacky, weird facts around here.
Oh, yeah.
Let us dive into some random facts about New Year's.
Let's hear it.
The first New Year's celebration dates back about 4,000 years. Julius Caesar, the Emperor of Rome, was the first to declare January 1st a national holiday. He named the month after Janus, the Roman god of doors and gates. Janus had two faces, one looking forward and one looking back. Caesar felt that a month named after this god would be fitting.
Yeah, very fitting.
And it stuck.
Yeah.
Kind of stuck. 45% of Americans make New Year's resolutions. The top resolutions are to lose weight, get organized, to spend less and save more, to stay fit and healthy, to quit smoking, while nearly half of all Americans make resolutions, 25% of them give up on their resolutions by the second week of January.
Oh my. Okay, so they give it like a week? That doesn't even seem right.
I really feel it. Yeah, you don't. You gotta have, if I have somebody come up to me on January 10th and they,
didn't work.
Like, well, wait a minute, what are you doing here? You gotta give it a little more than that.
Yeah, it's a journey, not a destination.
Well said, yes. Be sure to eat leafy greens on New Year's. Tradition says that the more leafy greens a person eats, the more prosperity he or she will experience. What an incentive for staying healthy, by the way.
Yeah, right? Way to start it.
Shucks. Oh, no. You know, that's a side benefit of this. Tradition also says that legumes bring prosperity because beans and peas look like coins.
Oh.
No, that's why so many people like their black-eyed peas on New Year's.
Okay. I never really realized why that was. Okay.
Yeah, I did not know that either. That's new to me. Many people ring in New Year's by popping open a bottle of champagne. Americans drink close to 360 million glasses of sparkling wine during this time. The bubbly stuff dates back to the 17th century when the cork was invented.
Oh, cool. I mean, it's kind of fun and also dangerous to pop one of those things. You feel like really there's something special about it, but also can be dangerous.
Yes. I've only done it twice, and both times, thankfully, it went okay.
Yeah.
But the first time, you know, they gave me a butter knife to knock it off.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm going, and sure, and I've got like 90 people, it feels like, watching you and everything. So, of course, you don't hit it on the first one. And I do it a second time, and the second time I did it, I came inches close to like getting my knuckle.
Oh,
so I'm
yeah.
like, okay, this third time, I got to get this. I have to get it. And luckily, right. got it on the third.
Nice.
But that thing shot. And it missed a buddy of mine that I was acting with at the time. It missed his head by a good like foot, but it felt so much closer than that. It looked way too close for comfort.
Yeah, dangerous. And then also, let's just talk about how it gets shaken or shook up.
Oh,
and
yeah.
so like you lose half of it anyways.
Yeah. yeah. you see the and whenever a team wins when they're celebrating, they're pouring the champagne all over each other. I'm always there's a part of me, I don't care how this sounds, like I hope that was the cheap stuff,
right?
I really hope it was the cheap stuff. Right?
Yes.
Don't go sit in a Don Perignon, dump it all over. No. Give me that.
Uh-huh.
You're gonna waste it. About 1 million people gather in New York City's Times Square to watch the ball drop. The Times Square New Year's Eve ball drop came about because of a ban on fireworks. The first ball in 1907 was 700 pounds and was lit with 125-watt lights. They are actually, it's kind of cool to look at that old one. It's kind of neat how they created that.
Nice.
The current ball puts the old one to shame, thanks to technology.
Yeah.
Today, it is covered in 2,688 crystals, is lit by 32,000 LED lights, and weighs about 11,875 pounds and is 12 feet in diameter.
Wow.
Going from 700 to that.
Yeah.
Wow. That is impressive.
Mm-hmm.
That thing. That I do wonder, I'm a little curious about the transporting of it and what they do with it the whole year, where it sits.
Yeah, where does it sit? Yeah. Like, whose house is it sitting in?
That may be a topic for tomorrow. I may have to look into that. Huh. Now I'm thinking about it now, you know. That's going to be in my head.
Yeah, for sure. It'd be a fun topic.
So remember the last scene in When Harry Met Sally, when Harry references a song after he and Sally kiss? It was Auld Lang Syne, a song traditionally sung at the end of New Year's parties.
Mm-hmm.
Poet Robert Burns wrote it in 1788. Though most people do not know the words to Auld Lang Syne. How do you say that? I always say it wrong. Auld Lang Syne.
I think that's
something like that. The overall message is that people have to remember their loved ones, dead or alive, and to keep them close in their hearts.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Yeah.
I don't think I don't think there's ever a bad time to do that. New Year's seems like a great one.
Right.
If Santa is the most common symbol associated with Christmas, then Baby New Year is the symbol most commonly associated with New Year's. Baby New Year is often seen in a diaper, black top hat, and a sash showing the number of the new year. Myth states that he matures into an old man during the year.
That's right. I forgot about that tradition.
What an interesting life.
Mm-hmm.
that I don't know how I would feel about being Baby New Year, but
Baby
that
New Year.
Like parts of it seem okay, and
right.
then other parts of it seem like a real rough time. you couldn't pay me to go back to puberty. You could not pay me enough money to go back and do that all over again.
No?
No, thank you. Okay. Nah.
I mean, you've learned some things now. So
sure.
you have that, you like, you know.
Here's the crux with that always. Do you get to go back with that knowledge?
Yeah, you do.
If you do,
today
then maybe
I'm saying that,
different.
Yeah,
maybe
at least.
The rule is set. Katrina set the
today,
rule.
Today, at least.
Make sure to be surrounded by family or loved ones on New Year's Eve. The first person you come across in the new year could set the tone for the next 12 months. This applies to couples as well. If a couple celebrating New Year's together does not kiss, the future of the relationship might be in trouble.
Oh, no.
So be sure to lay one on your significant other. Like, you shouldn't need a reason to do that.
No, just do it whenever.
I think that's a little silly to do. Oh, God, we got to kiss. Hurry.
it's 12:01.
I love the idea of somebody taking this, like, way too seriously. They got, like, those horse blinders on.
Yep.
They're like, all right, I just got to be looking right at you.
I could see that, too. Yes.
This is, and people wonder why I'm alone. People. at the Murmurs Parade in Philadelphia. 10,000 participants step through City Hall and perform in unique costumes. The parade dates back to the mid-17th century, incorporating elements from Irish, German, English, Swedish, and other European heritages. The parade itself is divided into five divisions: a cosmic division, a wench bridges, fancy divisions, fancy bridges. If you are in the area of New Year's, be sure to check out this event.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Man, that is cool. I've never heard of this though.
I haven't really either. So we're missing out, obviously.
Yeah, I have to look into that a little bit more. And according to statistics from the National Insurance Crime Bureau, vehicles are stolen on New Year's Day more than any other holiday. Not New Year's Eve, New Year's Day.
New Year's Day.
Keep that in mind. Don't think your old car is safe either. In 2011, the 1994 Honda Accord was the most stolen car. To discourage car theft, make sure your car is populated area and always take your keys with you. Or the whatever your fob,
yeah,
or whatever it is now that's you're
fancy
using.
Mm-hmm.
My poor dad, he couldn't get used to this for the longest time. He is now, but their vehicle they got like a year and a half ago or whatever has one of those.
Yes.
And how many times he would walk up to the car and he couldn't get in because it didn't have the fob on him or something like that.
I know, it really takes your brain a little something to get there. Or to like not do the muscle memory of putting a key in to turn it. That's huge. Sometimes I'm like, wait, but what happens if this isn't working? I don't have a key to turn it. It's the like the motion and muscle of putting that key in.
Yep. I don't know. How I would handle that. As far as like if I had a car that had a fob or anything, I'm not sure I would like that very much. Doesn't seem like my kind of thing. We certainly take all this information with fun and, take it into the new year with you, everybody.
Yeah.
We will take a break right here. We'll come back and have some more fun on The Morning Show here at WFHR. Mm-hmm. Welcome back to The Morning Show here at WFHR. Katrina and James here with you. We just got done talking a little bit of New Year's, Katrina, and I think that so much of New Year's gets caught up in some of the top topics of it, resolutions, party, what are you going to do, going out, having a good time, all these things. You and I were talking before the show here in our pregame kind of about how we're celebrating New Year's and a little bit more of the opposite, a little more toned down kind
Simple.
Of thing and stuff. Simple is a great way to put it.
Simple and great.
Yeah. But I think that it's still one of those holidays we celebrate, even if we don't go with a lot of pomp and circumstance.
Absolutely.
It means something. It still is, there's something cool about it, something refreshing about it, newing and
reflective, right?
Yes, that's a great word for it. When you think of New Year's, is there memories that pop to your mind right away?
Yeah, I would say there's like memories of the past, or I'm even thinking about last year. I remember our oldest daughter, who is 5 and a half now, but last year we put on like lipstick, which is exciting.
No, okay.
And we had this like bright pink lips. She put her own on, so it was like kind of all over her face and lips. And the party hat. It was simple. We just had a really good meal together. And I mean, she went to bed at like 8 or 9, but it was simple and sweet. Also, one year we did something crazy. We cross country skied across a portion of frozen ice, but river ice.
Whoa.
And it was like negative temperatures to go to some music in town kind of thing. Like we skied to it. The things you do.
It's awesome.
That's awesome. So we've done all sorts of weird things. What are some of your memories?
I think about when, turning, like a lot of people turning 20, 21 and going out and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And that was a lot of fun. But honestly, I don't have a lot of memories when I was really little, when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
But when I moved out here and, started hanging out with my best friend, Chris, him and I were, 14, 15 years old, and you're not going to the bars. You're not, you get to stay up late. You get to watch the ball drop. You get to do these things. And so many, like every year when I think of New Year's, I'm brought back to that time.
Yeah.
Him and I staying up late watching movies we weren't supposed to watch and that kind of thing. How much fun we had. And really, that's kind of where our friendship was kind of built in those early days. Mm-hmm. So it's really my first thing I think of. And I don't know if I ever enjoyed New Year's more than that time.
Sure.
I still do, and I still you know, celebrated and everything. I don't think it has the same shine to it that it did then. It's different now. It's more, you use such a great word for it. It's more reflective for me now and hopeful when looking to the future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it doesn't have to be anything crazy wild. I think it's good just to have that. You even said it before. It was like the review, the year of review, but also the year of kind of focus and moving forward. So kind of playing that, or like Caesar said, I guess, January, right? That's the month. Yes. January is the month of back and forward. So yeah, it's a good thing.
I don't know what the statute of limitations is on this one, but I'm going to go ahead and just do it anyway.
Okay.
And hope for the best. There was, we're talking about this, and this is the second time I've talked with somebody about New Year's memories, and both times it popped in my head, so I kind of have to this time.
Yep.
Chris and I were a little bit of knuckleheads.
Sure.
And we like to sneak out at night and everything. Mm-hmm. And we snuck out one night, and we had done this a number of times already. Now, we did this, and we didn't really have anything to do. We didn't really have any plans. We just snuck out, did what we, you know, did whatever we did. I don't remember.
Yeah.
And then we're going to come back. Now, of course, the trick to this is not letting the parents know that you left and came back.
You'd be clever.
Our basement had a window that would pop in and out.
Uh-huh.
And you had to have it set the right way. And if you did, you were fine. You didn't even notice it had been removed, moved in and out or anything like that. Chris is the last one out, and he did not put the window back.
Mm.
So it was just open the whole time. We were gone. We were gone for about 2 hours or something like that. We realized that, we're talking, and he tells me this. So we go rushing back. And Chris goes flying to the window, thinking he could just fly in. But my dad had woken up that night and put the window back.
Yep.
So it was not just only back. He had, I don't know if he hammered it or nailed it or duct taped it.
You couldn't get in.
Yep. Couldn't get in. We had to come to the front door.
And knock?
Yes.
Oh, that's some good shame right there.
Oh, it was good.
Oh man. Well played, Dad. He is getting a little red from like just remembering it all. I love it. I love it.
14 when that happened, and I'm still feeling it.
Mm-hmm. that's so good.
The look on his face when he opens that door, because he made us wait too. I had to knock like twice. And I could hear him on the other side of the door, and he just made us wait out. It was summer. It wasn't like it was cold or anything. But the look the look of satisfaction on his face.
Right,
but that was one of my oldest and one of my honestly favorite New Year's memories. Yeah. At the time, it wasn't, of course. But looking back, we laugh about that so much.
Mm-hmm.
My dad, when he talks about it, still, he's like, "And I saw the window down, and I didn't know what was going on. And I look around, I think somebody broke in, and nobody broke in. And then I realized you're gone, Jimmy's gone. And oh, I'm gonna get him. I'm gonna get Jimmy."
Right?
it wasn't Love about. It. He could tell my mom and anybody else anything, any story he wants. This was not about trying to teach me and Chris a lesson.
No, he knows you're going to do that again at some point. Yeah. But maybe you're going to think about it a little bit more this time.
This was about being able to not only catch us in the act, but the pride that you get to take in doing that.
Was well played.
Because don't think for a second that he didn't have the same thing happen to him at 14.
He
definitely did. He was just waiting for a day to be able to bring this back.
So good.
There's a lot of memories that we have, maybe, and there are plenty of ones that we can make going forward.
Mm-hmm.
Encourage you to, whatever you're doing this New Year's, obviously, be safe, be smart about it. Do not drink and drive. There is no excuse in the world to do that. Keep in mind, if you don't have a designated driver, you don't know if you can count on a cab, go to a bar that's within walking distance.
Yep.
Let me just see here. Let me Google real quick if there is a bar within walking distance of every single person listening here in Wisconsin. Yes, there is. It turns out, yes.
Yeah.
There's a bar within distance no matter where you're listening to us right now. So you have no excuse to drink and drive. You have no excuse not to be safe and have a good time this holiday season, this New Year's. Start 2023 on the right note with some good memories.
Absolutely.
And also keep in mind with those resolutions. You notice, usually the last couple of weeks of the year, especially this week, all we're talking about is New Year's resolutions. Mm-hmm. I have purposely not focused too much of our show on that because I think from what I remember of years past, one of the biggest reasons why people are not able to accomplish this, we talked about it earlier, not having that support system, not having a plan. And the kind of overthinking it, over building it up in our heads, and yeah. and the idea of how important this is, and
it has to be perfect,
and the deadline, mm-hmm. yes, and it has to be perfect, and all this. Give yourself some grace with this. Mm-hmm. Give yourself Absolutely. Some grace with it. Whatever you're trying to do, whatever you're trying to accomplish, you're not going to be able to do it within an hour, and you're not going to be able to do it while pressuring yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Give yourself some break when it comes to that.
Absolutely.
We'll take a break right here. We'll get to Melissa's news. We'll come back and have some more fun. It's The Morning Show on WFHR, locally grown radio. Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock. Right now, somebody is yelling at their radio.
They are right now. They're like, Christmas is done.
Christmas is done. Stop.
It's true.
We're not stopping until we're done here. Not until the end of the year. We got another Christmas theme day tomorrow where we'll have these bumpers. And
Ho, ho, ho.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it. I'm liking it. So we got a That Ain't Right story we got to get to right now. And this is interesting because I think there's a lot of things like this in life and society and day to day, especially in relationships,
mm-hmm.
where things that we think science would back us on, mm-hmm. but we don't necessarily have the proof.
Okay.
I love the idea of new rule, a new thing that this is a given from now on going forward, that kind of thing. Well, this is one of those kind of things that I think we kind of understood already, but now we know. Yes, men do hog the TV remote. It is true, and it is
control.
Yep, it's a That Ain't Right story, guys. Science confirmed what women already know: men hog the TV remote. Researchers at London Business School conducted a study into TV viewing habits and found that men always seize control of the remote, regardless of whether they are planning to change the channel. The research showed that even when a woman was watching a program that she wanted to watch, the man had to hang on to the remote, even though he wasn't going to flip the channel.
Hmm.
The story was first reported in Buzz newspaper and a couple of other places and gained some traction. There's plenty of resources that you can go to kind of like see. I used the Buzz online, and I got Steinberg GWI here and Marine Coast TV. So I went to three different web pages to kind of pull this story together. You can go to any of those websites if you would like to find the complete story. Where science really came into this one. And now, this is, again, this tells us something we kind of already knew.
Mm-hmm.
But why do men do this?
Yeah, why? Tell me the why.
That is the part that I find interesting. And so the research on that is a little bit kind of vague, to put it lightly.
Okay.
I mean, it kind of goes into a couple of different areas here. But one of the main things that they said is something that you just said, Katrina: control. And it's not the kind of control I think we think of always. I need to be the dominant force, and it's mm-hmm. about me, and I'm the king mm-hmm. of the household, and yeah. all these things and stuff. It's more that they're saying that we have so little control in life that this is one little place where we feel like we have some.
Mm-hmm.
So 86% of men that do this don't even realize they're doing it, according to the study.
Mm-hmm.
They just do this out of almost instinct.
Sure.
I do think also another stat that's interesting here that they mentioned, traditionally, according to this survey, more men watch TV than women.
Sure.
And they do this from a younger age than women do. So if I'm a guy in my whole single, my teen years, my early 20s, whatever, I've been single this whole time, and I'm always got the remote. Yeah, I'm used to having the remote.
Mm-hmm.
I get into a relationship, and like everybody knows, there are certain compromises, certain things you've got to get used to.
Yep.
I don't want to say bend to. I think you evolve to. I think you grow together and everything.
Yeah.
I don't think people change each other so much as they grow together.
Mm-hmm. That's how it should be, at least.
yeah, very good. Nice point. So there's that going on while that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
They're learning to, I got to let go of the control thing.
You can have it on Monday's final, have it the rest of the weeks.
Nice.
But hey, that still is working together.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All of this, though, one of the funniest things that I think to come out of this is the men that when they were kind of confronted about this were embarrassed. They were not. I wouldn't say ashamed. They used that in this article. I wouldn't say that. What they're just from reading some of the commentary from some of them talking about this, it's more about they felt bad, didn't realize they were doing it.
Sure.
That's kind
awareness.
Of
great. We all. That's good.
I like it.
I like this. Or what about maybe they're just better with the control. They know how to work it better, right? They know how to. Something goes wrong. They know the buttons to push.
Yeah.
I think about that.
There's outliers to everything in life. So I don't think that there's much that you can say is, oh, this is always the way 100% of the time. Mm-hmm. But there are things that traditionally just certain sexes do better than others.
Yeah.
There's nothing sexist about that. Mm-mm. And that's coming from my feminist mother. Mm-hmm. That's, what I was raised on. It doesn't mean that there's something missing from the other sex. It means that we complement each other.
Yep.
It means that there's something to appreciate about the other sex, appreciate mm-hmm. about what they can do, what they are capable of, and all these things. I don't think it's far-fetched to say some of this stuff. I know that in this day and age, we want to be very careful and sensitive to everybody's feelings and needs mm-hmm. and all those things. And with that being said, I think that there are just certain things that men and women do better.
Yeah.
A woman does better than a man. A man does better than a woman. Now, there are outliers, again, to everything.
Yes,
there's certainly, there's this one person. Well, yeah, of course there is, because there's a billion of us. There's been billions of us, and there's going to be billions more. There's billions in my sentence that I just finished here.
Right?
Billion more people just came about. You have 1,000 of anything, you're going to have outliers.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, I don't see this as something like a sexist thing to... Now, I think it can be sexist if you assume,
mm-hmm.
if you immediately, I'll open that jar for you. You can't do it.
Right.
What are you talking about? I've been opening jars my whole life.
Yeah.
I can open a jar.
Right.
That can be dangerous. You don't want to make assumptions or mm-hmm. anything. But if I'm with somebody and they ask me to open a jar, I don't immediately think, weaker sex.
No,
I just open the dang jar.
Right.
And vice versa. If I need help with something, and she is able to do it,
mm-hmm.
I think that you can chew gum and walk at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
I think you can understand that. Hey, we have plenty in common. There's plenty of things that man, woman, we can all do alike.
Right.
And also understanding that hey, there's just certain things that. I don't think it's necessarily all women are this, all men are that. I think mm-hmm. it's more of a case-by-case thing. I think it's more this particular couple, well, he's great at this and she's great at that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's more about that mm-hmm. than it is all men are this, all women are
that.
Right,
we have our strengths.
Yeah.
And it's also good to learn the opposite strengths to some level. Because then you can try to balance out, or if that person's sick or something, you can do those parts of their job if needed instead of oh, man. I don't know how to do this because I've never been taught this part of it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I think I think that we're getting better about this when it comes to a lot of this stuff. But I do also think that there's room to grow.
Oh, always.
Yeah, very true. We're all a work in progress.
We are
really.
All. Mm-hmm.
We'll take a break right here. We'll come back, have some more fun on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back to The Morning Show here on WFHR, locally grown radio, 9:44 on the clock. Katrina and James here with you to take it right to the top of the hour, lead you into Morning Magazine for the day. Looking forward to that. Wanted to get into this story yesterday, actually, the other day when I first came across it. Furniture poverty has been found to drive victims back to their abusers. It's why one interior designer turned social worker has started a charity that gets a surplus of furniture to women in need, helping them create homes. When Larissa finally—not her real name. This is just the name that we're using for her and everything. When Larissa finally left her abusive partner, it was just days before she was due to give birth for the first time. Her refuge was an empty studio flat with no furniture or goods, let alone linen, cookware, culinary. She didn't have toiletries, any of this. Larissa was referred to a new charity based in London called Furniture Futures. Using donations of end-of-line and surplus stock from homeware companies, the charity was able to convert her flat into a place fit for a new mother and baby.
Wow.
Furnishing Futures was set up in 2019 by former interior designer and social worker Emily Wheeler. So far, they have turned 18 similar spaces, many without even flooring or curtains, from housing into homes for women escaping domestic violence.
Wow.
The women often have children, like Sarah, again, not her real name. We're not using real names here, but just giving people a name. But like Sarah, who had been sleeping on the floor for a year with her daughter before the charity stepped in to help.
Mm. Wow, that's amazing.
Domestic violence, Wheeler believes, is one of the most under-addressed issues in not only the States here, but in the United Kingdom, and especially in certain parts of the world, I'm going to be honest here, that are run by dictators.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not a coincidence that you got a dictator in charge, and the women and ethnicities all suffer, and children, and youth suffer.
Yep.
Only 2% of social rented properties in America and 3% or 2% in the United Kingdom are let as furnished or partially furnished, according to data from the campaign group End Furniture Poverty. So most places, when you rent it, when you buy it, when you move in, aren't furnished. And I think most people are used to that. But that's, you know, kind of an everyday thing. It's a lot different in this situation,
right,
under this scenario.
What a good idea. It's like, this is surplus. Also, it's new. It's not necessarily somebody's old couch they're trying to put on the side of the road. It's new surplus. Maybe the seam wasn't exactly perfect, or maybe they had just overstock of something, the floor. But wow, they're giving a person something to feel comfortable in a new space. That's amazing.
My my mom and dad have had their home for, I think, 20 years.
Yes.
Our whole lives, they rented apartment after apartment after apartment. And when they got this house, the joy that they had when they walked in, the crying my mom had, I can picture it like it was yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it was yesterday or this weekend, we were talking, and they were talking about how much they love their home, how much they love this house and everything, what it means to them.
Yeah.
And that's a family coming out of poverty and everything. Mm-hmm. I can't even begin to imagine what it must mean for these women, for these children to have an opportunity like this. And you touched on something really cool there, I think. We all know what it's like to buy a new couch. Or no, I shouldn't say we all. We know what it's like to have a new thing.
Yes.
We're getting rid of the old thing and we're getting something new. And the joy and excitement of the new thing.
Right.
Now, usually that's something like an entertainment thing, a toy or something like that. We're talking about furniture here.
Everybody should have. You want to eat your food? You should have a table to eat it on.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, just basic stuff. This has a full effect, too. You do these things, you help to these charities and that, and those kids are stronger, better, grow up to be better adults who add to society.
Yep.
It all comes together. It's all connected.
Absolutely.
If you're looking for, well, why should this matter to me? Why should I care about this or anything? Well, for one, don't you have a heart? But also, this does affect
the future. Yeah. And I just think about, they're coming out of like an abusive situation where there's lots of discomfort. This is giving them a physical comfort, like a couch to feel comfortable on, to feel safety, even if, and like a, you know, space away from a person, and they're giving that safety. So that's really cool in a different way.
I didn't even think of that. That's really good. Wheeler plans to fundraise for a warehouse to store stock and to take on more team members. The operation is still just her, a handful of volunteers, and a board of trustees. Her vision is to support women beyond her home borough of Wallingham Forest in northeast London. Quote, the impact of furniture poverty is enormous, explains Wheeler. Your children can't furnace function in school because they are exhausted from sleeping on a hard floor. It really impacts people's mental health.
Mm-hmm.
It goes so much deeper than I think any of us realize, even those of us that care about the subject and pay attention and research it. Unless you've been through it, you don't know.
And
it really stands out there. It's something. I like this one, too, because this is just for fun. Man spells out, hi, Kevin, in lights for 20 years to honor his neighbor.
That's awesome.
Every Christmas, Mike Whitmer gets out his colored lights to weave a special, specific message out onto the night. Whitmer says passerbys are sometimes confused by his lights, which read, hi, Kevin. Across his roof, but it's to honor the memory of a young boy who passed away from cancer in 2010.
Mm.
For the past two decades, he has featured a reference to Kevin in his light display. Kevin was diagnosed with cancer back in 2002 when he was 11 years old. That year, Mike had written, "Get well, Kevin," in lights.
Mm-hmm.
The pair had lived on neighboring roads, and Kevin had loved seeing Mike's light display each December. He continued to reference the lad in his lights every year until his tragic death 8 years, 8 years on in 2010. Mike vowed to honor Kevin's life by continuing their much-loved tradition of installing his largest display yet on his roof so that Kevin could still see it from wherever he is.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Kevin was a cool kid in the neighborhood. He swam on the local swim team with his kids, with my kids, and we all became friends, Whitmer told the Maryland Press. When I heard he had cancer and was going through chemo and radiotherapy, I wanted to support him. I had this idea to write "Get Well, Kevin" in my Christmas lights. What 11-year-old doesn't want to see his name in lights?
Right? So good.
Whitmer continued to do it every year, even after his cancer went into remission and Kevin went off to college.
That's awesome.
Quote, but he had just finished his first year of college when his cancer came back and it took him, he recalled. I told everyone to come by come by that year, and the "Hi, Kevin" would be bigger so he can see it from heaven.
Hmm.
This is my 20th anniversary of the tribute to Kevin, and I'll keep doing it every year as long as I'm able.
That's really wonderful.
Kevin's mother told Whitmer that Kevin loved the display so much that he had asked if it would be done every year. Quote, I thought, how could I not? And the tradition was born.
That is wonderful.
Gosh, that's a cool story.
Really cool story. At first when you said it, I thought you were spinning it like, oh, it's the neighbor to neighbor one says like, hi, Kevin, hi, Tom, or something, which is still fun and great. But there's so much more meaning impacted in that, which is really cool.
I went into this story, article, December 22nd, this came out. So later that day, that night, let's be honest, around 2 in the morning, I came across this story. And the headline right away, you know, man spells out, hi, Kevin, and lights 20 years of historic neighbor, to honor his neighbor. I thought this was a gag they were doing back and forth. So I'm going into it like, oh, I got a good, funny story.
Yeah.
And then I had my heart pulled in 100 directions here. The story and everything. Gosh, that's what a beautiful way to honor a life.
Absolutely.
And at the same time, when he does this, every neighbor that's from that neighborhood, they know why he's doing it. Mm-hmm. So they're remembering Kevin.
Yes.
The new people in town, they come in like, hey, why are you doing
What's
this?
With the Kevin story? They learn it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And who knows how much of this leads to cancer, you know, funding, cancer research that they're doing. money that they're contributing or charity-wise mm-hmm. that they're doing for it, or charities that they have to benefit cancer research funding or any of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool.
That's cool.
A really good story right there. Another thing that I thought was interesting, too, was something that Katrina said to me. We said to all of us earlier. You were talking about hopes for 2023 with the store, mm-hmm. with Family Natural Foods.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have some stuff there that you wanted to touch on, or was there anything really
I have a whole grocery list here. No, I'm just kidding. I was just trying to reflect on, you know, sometimes we do like the reflective of how was the year, but also what are we looking forward to for 2023? And now none of these have set in stone, everyone.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'd say some things to look for. We recently made a really good connection with Chef Joe at Bullseye Credit Union, their food portion of it.
Mm.
And we're hoping to have him do some soups again and getting back into some soups, which is very fun.
Mm-hmm.
Same with presentations. Those have kind of been on the sidelines. Through the pandemic, it was like, oh, let's all stop and do whatever.
Yeah.
And we tried doing like virtual ones, but we are hoping to do presentations again at some point in the year to come. And then probably you'll see a little bit of like some construction stuff that we've been wanting to do and had to postpone, whether it's the floors that have, you know, it's time for them to change, or it's some of those like lovely upkeeping things that will probably come in the year of 2023.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very exciting. And knowing you guys the way I do, you, Steve, and even that staff over there,
mm-hmm.
you guys come up with stuff all the time.
Yeah.
So we don't even know some of the cool things you guys might be doing over there.
Yeah.
You guys don't even know.
I don't even
yet.
Know yet. It's like maybe 1 minute and then mm-hmm. next.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. I appreciate mm-hmm. that, Katrina. Another one I wanted to touch on here, and this comes to us from positive.news. The mini forest revolution is here and coming to a town near you.
Mm.
A novel approach to tree planting is taking root in the United Kingdom and beyond, offering an exciting solution to the climate and biodiversity crisis. That both work there.
Yeah.
Bundled up in a rain jacket and donning a wide-brimmed straw hat, Dr. Akira Manikowski stood in front of 32 potted twig-sized seedlings, each accompanied by an image of the mature tree it would one day become.
Hmm.
I'm going to give you some of the 32 species names, he explained to the employees of a Toyota Gosal automotive parts plant in Lebanon, Kentucky. The trainees listened alternatively. It is very difficult to remember all 32, but please remember the three or four. So he was doing this to try to bring knowledge of trees. It is not enough to just plant the trees,
yeah,
but understanding what you're planting.
Sure.
And why it's important.
What variety, what's good to that area. Interesting.
The project is for everybody, really. Mm-hmm. But this is something that is gaining steam and can be done by everybody pretty mm-hmm. soon. Or it really is. The tree planting they're doing is for the production of timber or the beautification of the area. So they're planting these trees for a specific intention.
Yeah.
Designating them that.
Mm-hmm.
And so they will remain that in local communities, but maybe just as importantly or more importantly at factories. What they're trying to do is have these like mini forests grow up around a GM plant,
yeah,
or around a 3M plant, or something like that.
Offshoot that like carbon.
We know by now that the science shows that you chop a tree down and you plant another tree, that doesn't even the score.
No.
That's not how that works.
No.
But we do know that that does help at least. It's better mm-hmm. to, if you're going to chop the tree down, at least plant another one. Mm-hmm. It's better than not planting one.
Right.
So. With that, this rise of these forests and this doctor spreading this, it's really grown.
Mm-hmm.
So about 4,000 co-workers and community members planted 35,000 trees and shrubs along the perimeter of these factory grounds at this plant in Kentucky. Within a few years, the seedlings they had once held in their hands would transform into tall, dense band of forest between the manufacturing plant and the surrounding farmland.
Hmm.
Creating more of a connection with these. I think that this isn't just a revolution. This is something that's it's necessary.
Yeah.
But it's also kind of like cool. Like, I mean, I think it's interesting. I think it's fun.
Learn more about Mother Nature, and we need more trees. And urban areas are just keep spreading more and more. So it's a good thing.
I apologize. I don't like ending the show on a controversial note here, but you guys know me. I get on my soapbox sometimes. I'm a big fan of oxygen.
Yeah.
I like oxygen.
I like oxygen too.
Sorry. I'm mm-hmm. a big fan. Mm-hmm. Big fan of it. Love it. Mm-hmm. I get as much of love mm-hmm. it, get as much of it as I can. Trees kick this off.
Yeah.
So it seems like, I'm not a scientist here, but it seems like more trees, more oxygen, good for all of us.
Yeah.
Win-win right there.
Right. Teach the youth, though. Get them knowing the way, like, kinds of trees, too. How great is that? That they can name different tree varieties?
Yeah, yeah. You understand that more. It not only creates a little more empathy in you, not only to nature, but it also helps you understand, oh, this tree is important because it kicks off this much CO2, or
yeah,
it emits this much energy.
Mm-hmm.
Or if it is used for manufacturing, that tree just created a billion notebooks or mm-hmm. whatever it might do.
Mm-hmm.
Understanding that stuff can only make us more in tune with the world.
Absolutely.
And more in tune with each other, really.
Absolutely.
Great show. Thank you so much for hanging out with us, Katrina.
Fun.
This was a blast.
I'll see you next year, James.
We should get together next year.
Okay,
we should do that.
Let's make that happen.
All right. Now, I know we say this and then we don't do it. Let's do it. Let's actually do it.
Okay.
Really, really fun show. Yeah. Thank you so much for the time. And thank the staff over there at Family Natural Foods for letting me bower you for a couple hours.
Thanks for putting up with me.
Keep on heading over there, everybody. Our gang at Family Natural Foods, they're open right now. Open till about 4 today at 910 West Grand Avenue in Wisconsin Rapids. You can always give them a call at 423-3120. That's 423-3120. Visit their website, familynaturalfood.com, and be sure to follow them on social media. We'll talk with you and your brother very soon. You take care, Katrina.
Perfect.
Wish you and yours a happy New Year's.
Yes, and you as well, and the listeners.
We'll be back with Morning Magazine coming up right here on the Mornings at WFHR.